Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Lamed. We left off at the very top of Daf Lamed Amr Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and it's also sponsored by Zechus Refuah Shleima for Rabbi Kelmer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Leah Yishlev Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chal Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very much for these sponsorships. So what we're going to talk about today, first we're going to finish up our discussion about Taruvas Chametz that we have from the end of yesterday's daf, and we're going to come to a clear conclusion. Halach lemaisa, what do we say about Taruvas Chametz? The Gemara is going to paskin the issue, and then the rest of the daf is going to talk about kelim that have taste of chametz that's absorbed in the walls of the kli. We're going to begin with the machlokas whether a kli cheres that has chametz taste absorbed in its walls can still be used after Pesach in some way or another, or do you have to just destroy all your kli cheres, because kli cheres can't be kashered? Do you have to destroy all your kli cheres every time Pesach comes? That's going to lead to a parenthetical discussion about smearing an oven with flesh and whether the bread that you make in such an oven can be kosher. So we're going to talk about having fleshing bread or milchig bread, which generally is not allowed. And the Gemara is then going to talk about knives and glazed kelim that have chametz taste absorbed in them and how to kosher such kelim. And then the daf is going to conclude with the rule that kelim used only with cold can't absorb taste unless the cold item is also extremely strong and sharp. But generally speaking, the blios only happen when there's something cold. If there's nothing cold, generally speaking, we're not going to find any blios. We're not going to have any blios. So let's begin on the top of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. So at Amar Rava. So we started the discussion yesterday about Tarovas Chametz, and we discussed the difference between Bismano and Shalom Bismano, and also the difference between Bimino and Shalom Bimino. Bismano meaning on Pesach, Shalom Bismano meaning after Pesach, Bimino meaning when you have two like kinds that mix together, where we have that machlokas tanaim, whether min bimino is eno batel or min bimino is actually midaraisa batel barov, but midraban you require shishim versus min b'sheino mino, which we always assume requires shishim because it's been no same time. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava Hilchasa, the halacha is chametz bismano bein bimino bein shelo bimino aser. When it's chametz bismano, whether the taroves is a min bimino taroves, whether it's a min b'sheino mino taroves, it's always going to be aser b'mashuhu. Even if it's just a mashu, normally by shari surin it becomes batel b'shishim, but not by chametz b'pesach m'yaser b'mashu kirav, and that follows the shita of Rav shalom bismano. But if it's chametz after Pesach, bein bimino bein shalom bimino mutter. If it's b'taroves, whether it's a taroves of min bimino, whether it's taroves of min b'sheino mino, it's going to be mutter, even if there is no same time, even if there is an asinus time, you don't even have shishim k'Rabbi Shimon, and that assumes like the shita of Rabbi Shimon that chametz la'achara Pesach is mutter min haTorah, that there is no issur d'oraisa of chametz shavar lo v'Pesach. If anything, it's only a knas midrabanan, and that knas only applies to regular chametz be'en, but not to a taroves chametz. Ask the Gemara, umi amar Rava hachi? Does Rava really say that a taroves chametz is totally mutter after Pesach? That if you have chametz that's mixed in with something, that after Pesach there's going to be no issur whatsoever? V'amar Rava, Rabbi Shimon knas hakanis hol v'avar lo v'bal yirabai matzei. But doesn't Rava himself say that Rabbi Shimon, even though he holds his no issur d'orais of chametz shavar lo v'Pesach, he most certainly holds that there's an issur d'rabanan of chametz shavar lo v'Pesach, that there's a knas for anyone who violated bal yirabai matzei, and therefore we should aser it even when it's b'taroves. Says his Gemara, no, that knas hani mili be'inei aval ayde taroves lo. That knas is only for chametz be'en. That knas was never imposed for chametz al yidei taroves. Va'azza Rava l'tamei, and Rava who allows taroves chametz after Pesach within Shitas Rabbi Shimon is really the Shitaso. Dama Rava, because Rava once commented, Ki avinin bei Rav Nachman, when I was in Rav Nachman's house, Ki avinavki shivi yimei d'pescha, the pischa after 7 days of Pesach had passed, Amarlan, he would tell us, Puku zvinu chamira d'bnei chela. Go out and buy chametz of the non-Jewish soldiers that were baked on Pesach, because chametz shavalav Pesach is mutter min haTorah, and the chametz were only kones on the chametz of Israel, not on the chametz of a Nachri. But you see that he holds like Rabbi Shimon that the whole list from chametz shavalav Pesach is only knas, and the knas is limited. It's limited in two ways. Apparently, it's limited to only apply to chemtzo shel Yisrael, not to apply to chemtzo shel Nachri. it's limited to not apply to Tarovas Chametz. And that's why Rava holds that Tarovas Chametz, we don't have to look whether you have Shishim or not Shishim. After Pesach, it's going to be Mutter. On Pesach, Chametz is Aser B'mashu. It's going to be Aser no matter what. Why is it Taka that Chametz is Aser B'mashu on Pesach? Why is it that we don't say it's Batal, that it's just like all other Isurim, that it becomes Batal? So there are different Deos in Rishonim why that would be the case. Rashi in Divra Maskal Amar Rava says the basis of Rava is because he holds like Rav, who holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that by Kali Surim, when you have Min Bimino, it's Asra Filu B'mashu. By Shari Surim Shabbatara, when you have the Min Bimino Taroves, it's Asra B'mashu. We explained yesterday that Shita Saran, that explains that if there's no conflict, then you can't have Bittel. So Min Bimino, it's always, there's no conflict. They're working in concert with each other, and therefore it's never going to be Bittel, it's going to be Asra B'mashu. And Bin Mishaino Mino, even though by Shari Surim, we're not going to be so Machmir, but nevertheless, min be'eno mino, we're not going to make a gzera of min be'eno mino mishum mino, but by chametz we're going to be more machmir to make such a gzera of min b'she'eno mino atu min b'mino, that since min b'mino is asr mashu anyway, so we're going to make a gzera that min b'she'eno mino is also going to be asr mashu. Why would we make such a gzera dafka by chametz? Because chametz involves an isr kares, and chametz is more chamer than chelev and dam that have an isr kares, because where we don't make a gzera, because chametz is lo bedilim minei. So a double chumrah of chametz. Number one, it has an isr kares. Aye, there are some other isurim that also have an isr kares. Yeah, but chametz is lo bedilim minei. You're not used to staying away from chametz the whole year. You are used to staying away from chelev and dam the entire year. That is Rashi's interpretation of why it is that chametz is asr b'mashu. Really, it's a gzera because we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that min b'mina was asr b'mashu. Tosas and the Tosas are Rashi write that even though by every other taravas isr v'hetta the halacha is that it's been no saint tam, but because of the chumra of the isr of chametz we're machmir even when it's only a mashu. And the Rashi explains that the chumra is because of the isr kares alo bedili en shemineh. But Tosfos in Maseches Chulin and Daf Tzadi Vav writes that the Chumr is because you violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yematzeh B'chametz, and Lo Bedile and Sheminei. So there are a number of Chumrs you could choose from about Chametz. It could be that Lo Bedile Minei, it could be that it's in Issur Kares, it could be that there's Bal Yirah, Bal Yematzeh, but the bottom line is that there are a lot of Chumrs about Chametz, and therefore, because of these Chumrs, we're extra machmir about a Tarovas, that it's Aser, Afilu B'mashu, where Tosfos and Tosfos Rosh are really different than Rashi, is that they don't rely on the fact, on Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda. Even if you don't hold that we pass like, you don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, the min b'mino is asr mashu. Normally you hold b'nos in tam, everything is b'nos in tam, but still chametz is going to be asr b'mashu just on account of these chumras alone. The Rambam in the 15th parak of Hilchos Me'achalos Asuras and the Ramban in the Mochamos say the chametz is asr b'mashu because it's dover sheish l'matirim, a different part. Why is chametz asr b'mashu? Because chametz is going to become mutter afterwards, and one of the basic rules in Hilchos Tarovas is that while we do have dinim of bittel, we don't rely on bittel if you could just wait until later on and the item is going to become mutter. So chametz is a davar sheyesh l'matirim because chametz is mutter la'achar ha-pesach, and that's why it's not going to be batel. Now, depending on why it is that you hold that it's asr b'mashu, it may chapen afkamina la'alacha in terms of whether chametz is asr b'mashu even on erev pesach la'achar chatzos. Right? Let's say you have a tarovas chametz that happens not when it's pesach itself, but when it's already an isr chametz, a zman isr. Some of the Rishonim say that the reason there goes are bismano shalom b'mino b'shomino is because there are machmir because it's b'kares. So the fnei mano where there's no kares, it's only mitzvah seif tashbisu. So it should be like chametz that's nesareif lefnei mano. It's like it should be like chametz that has a tarovas chametz that's a week before Pesach and it should be mutter. The Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Chametz and Matzah writes that chametz that's nesareif on Pesach is asur b'kol shu, whether it's b'mino, whether it's shalom b'mino. And the Kesef Mishnah is medayik that it sounds like only on Pesach, but on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, it's going to be totally mutter. However, the Magid Mishnah brings that Yesh Mishakasev, that even the Rambam holds that it's also b'mashu kodem Pesach, because the Rambam paskins, like we mentioned before, in Hilchos Me'achalos Asuras, the Chametz Bizmano is also afil b'mashu because it's Dover Sheish L'Matirim. So that's true of Chametz Lefnei Pesach as well, that it's Dover Sheish L'Matirim, Mela. Kol davar sheyesh matirin is afilu b'mashu, should be also afilu b'mashu. According to Tosfos and Chulin Daf Tzadi Zayin, that said that the reason that it's also even when it's not nesarim shelobimino is because of the chumra of chametz that you violate by rabbi matzei and lo bedili in shemineh. So by erev pesach m'sheyesh olson lemaila, according it's machlokas whether there's a violation of bal yirah yet. So if you hold that there is, then that same chumra should apply. If you hold that there isn't, then that chumra would not apply. So that's the discussion about mashu chametz. Why it is that mashu chametz exists, and when that isra of mashu chametz exists, does it exist on erev Pesach as well? And we also pointed out that Rava had said, the Gemara had said that Rava said that that when he was by Rav Nachman told him after 7 days of Pesach to go buy chametz from the Nachrim. So a couple of issues over here. The Rashash raises the question, sounds like as soon as 7 days of Pesach are over, you're allowed to buy chametz. Well, we have, after 7 days of Pesach are over, the eighth day of Pesach. I mean, there's Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. So is he telling him you're allowed to buy chametz in Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios? That you're allowed to buy from a Nachri? No, that's absolutely awesome. Magen Avraham writes in Tav Samach Zayin, Sivkat Niyadalin, that you're not allowed to keep around chametz be'en, even on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, because it's a Safek Yom Tov, Safek Chol, and it's also awesome to make a Kinyan on Yom Tov anyway. So it can't be that, says the Rashash, it can't be that he means after 7 days. It's just that in the Torah there are 7 days of Pesach. So he was saying that after Pesach is over, you don't have to worry about it anymore because the chametz belong to Nachrim over Pesach. The Chasam Sofer asked the same question, and he suggests Rav Nachman must have lived in a place where the Shluchei Nisan had reached, that the Shluchei Beis Din, to let them know, the Kaviya Diarcha was able to reach. So there are certain places in Chutz La'aretz where they were able to know that it's only one day of Yom Tov and not which day was the correct day of Yom Tov, and they therefore didn't have to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. In She'ilas Yaivitz, in the Tshuvas of Rav Yaakov Emden, Chelek Beis Mitzad Yalev, he suggests a third answer, that he told them that on Yom Tov Sheni it's mutter to buy the chametz of a guy for after Pesach, because he was afraid that if you tell them during Pesach, then it will be mezalzel b'moed, and they'll buy it during the moed. But he thought, as Yom Tov is ending, it's okay already to give instructions about where to buy chametz, like Kanohug in many shuls, that they'll get up on Yom Tov between Milchamarev or something, and they'll already announce that tonight you're able to buy chametz at this place, at that place, not at this place, as Jewish Rosh, or whatever. So he's instructing them where to buy their chametz after Pesach. The Sfasemes raises a question, why does he say that... Well, actually, no, it's not yet. One other point over here. Rashi writes that Rava paskins like Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso, because he paskins chametz shel nachri shavu l'av pesach is mutter af pa'achila. That's only like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon asks chametz shavu l'av pesach only because of a knas, and therefore chametz shel nachri is mutter after pesach because we're not going to make a knas. Unlike Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, chametz shavu l'av pesach is aser, and therefore chametz midoraisa, and therefore chametz Shal Nachri is aser if Avra Lava Pesach. So the Bala Itur raises the question that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that Rav Nachman himself asered eating pas akum. So how are they able to buy pas min anachrim? So he quotes from Rishonim that over here we must be talking about sa'or to be machmitz other isos. It must be that the issue over here could not have been that he was telling them to go buy chametz after Pesach, because pas akum is aser according to Rav Nachman himself. So Rav Nachman would never have given such instructions. No, it was a sourdough that they had, a sourdough that they would use to be machmitz other isos, so that you're allowed to buy from anachri. That's not called pas akum, obviously. Okay, so now says the Gemara about kederos, if you have pats, you have kelim that are balua with blios of chametz. So Amarav, kederos bepesach yishaberu, yishavru. If you have kederos of cheres that you cooked chametz in, on Pesach you have to break them, you have to destroy them, there's no way to fix them, because even after Pesach they're going to be usher to you. You can't just put them away for Pesach, because they're balua with blios of chametz, and the tam chametz is going to come out when you cook in them after Pesach. And the Tarovas Chametz, according to Rav, is Aser even after Pesach. The Tarovas Chametz is going to be Aser. Vamai, so ask the Gemara, why do you have to break them? L'shin l'achar Pesach, why don't you just leave them around till after Pesach, and then cook in them things that are Shalom B'minan? The Chametz that's Balua in them will be one min. Whatever you cook in them will be a different min. And even according to Rav, Chametz is Batal l'achar Pesach, min b'she'in
mino. So just be careful how you use the kli. Why do you have to smash the kli, break the kli, throw the kli out? Just be careful how you use it. Use it shalom b'mino. So it says Gemara, gzeira d'ma asu membu b'mino. You're going to mark off the pots in your kitchen. This can only be used with foods other than, you know, and it's going to be too confusing. People are going to end up using the pots for even min b'mino, and min b'mino is going to be asur even after Pesach. That's Rav's shita. Shmuel amar. Shmuel says, nah, don't break all your pottery. Lo yishavru aval mashi lulachras mano. Keep it until after Pesach. Va'avudbu bein b'mino, bein shalom b'mino. And don't worry, you could use it b'mino, you could use it shalom b'mino. It's not a problem at all, because according to Shmuel, tarovus chametz after Pesach is over is mutter. Bein b'mino, bein b'sheino mino. That's what we saw in yesterday's daf. Va'azal Shmuel l'tamei. And this is Shmuel l'shita so. Da'amar Shmuel lahanu d'mezavni kandi. Shmuel used to tell the people who would sell pots, the people who would sell pottery, Ashmuz Vini Akandaichi, go and make sure that the prices are reasonable prices on the cookware that you're selling. V'ilo darshin l'chuk Rabbi Shimon. And if you don't make reasonable prices, I'm going to start darshining barabim that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. The chametz lachar Pesach is only asur mishum knas, and therefore the yisur is only on chametz be'en, not chametz alidei taroves, and therefore all the pots that had chametz balua in their walls on Pesach are going to be mutter, and people are not going to have to buy new pots. So I'm going to ruin your business. I'm going to, with a psak halacha, I could ruin your entire business. So make sure that you don't take unfair advantage of people and make high prices. So says Mar v'lidrush lehu tashmul Rabbi Shimon Sirle. What's he doing? If the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, he should have passed like Rabbi Shimon anyway. Why is it only a threat that I'm going to pass like Rabbi Shimon? If people don't need to throw away their pots, why would he tell them? Why would he allow it to go on? So asrei d'Rav hava. No, out of respect for Rav. Rav was the Mar d'Asra, so Shmuel didn't want to go against Rav publicly, but he was willing to if these people wouldn't make the prices reasonable. But other than that, he was not interested in going against the Shita of Rav. Svasem has raised the question, Rav's Shita is Yishavru, they should break all the Kalim. Why break them? Why not just sell them to a Nachri? And then you won't have a problem. Then it'll be Chamech Shavu Pesach in the Kalim of a Nachri. So he says that since there's the Tam HaBalua B'Kli and Tam Ki'ikr, so you violate the Tam HaBalua B'Kli with Bal Yirah. But he says that meaning you may sell the Kalim to the Nachri, but the Blios you still own. And the blios you're going to violate bal yirah. So he points out that the Gemara says l'shinu achar pesach. So apparently you're not in violation of bal yirah. Meaning Shmuel says you don't have to break them. Hold, keep them around till after Pesach. Keep them around. If there's a violation of bal yirah on the blios in the kli, so then how can you say keep them around until after Pesach? You shouldn't be allowed to keep it. Forget. I know Shmuel's not worried about what's going to happen with the food that's cooked in the kli after Pesach. But why isn't he worried about the fact that I own those blios on Pesach? Also, must be that there is no Isra of Bal Yirah on Blios. So that's a machlokas poskim, whether there's an Isra of Bal Yirah on Blias Chametz in the Kli. So according to those that hold that there is an Isra of Bal Yirah, so the Gemara says, when the Gemara says, L'shinu l'achar Pesach, it means the kederos that haven't been used in more than 24 hours, where it's a tam pogum anyway. But if it's been used within 24 hours, then ain't a chinami, it would be a violation of Bal Yirah. And Rav asks us to use the Kli because it's nosin tam l'fkam is aser, min b'mino is aser b'mino. And that's why Rav would ask it. But that's a machlokas aposkim, whether there could be Bal Yirah on Blias. The Chacham Tzvi has a famous shita where the Chacham Tzvi writes in the Tshuva in Siman Ayin Hey that a kli that was balua with chametz and you didn't do agala, and then after 12 months you cook in it on Pesach without doing agala, whatever you cook in it is mutter, because even though we pass on the Nosin Tam Lefkam is Asr on Pesach, so even though the Blios are more than 24 hours old, so it's only Nosin Tam Lefkam is going to be Asr on Pesach, after 12 months the Blio becomes like Afar, and it's no longer Asr. That's a big chiddush of the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi holds that if you have a Kli that's more than a year old, that hasn't been used more than a year, there are no Blios anymore. The Blios are just gone. They disappear. disappear on their own without any kashering. So why then would Rav say Yishaberu? Just keep it around for 12 months. So the Chacham Tzvi responds to that Shaila, and he says that Rav also holds you could keep it around for 12 months, but then use it. When Rav says break it, it's to just say against the Sheet of Shmuel, says that you're allowed to use it right after Pesach. So Rav is saying, no, if you want to use it right after Pesach, then you might as well break it. You're not going to be allowed to use it right after Pesach. But in a Chinam, you could hold on to it for 12 months. Or that Rav was just saying, break it, because what are the chances that you'll be able to hold on to it for 12 months without using it? It's very likely that you'll be nichshal and that you'll end up using it. So that's why he said to throw it out after, rather than to keep it around for 12 months. The other question that the Rishonim raise over here is that, wait a second, what are we suggesting over here? That according to Shmuel, no problem, you can leave it around till, or even according to Rav, that the Gemara asked, just use it for Shalom Bimino. And Shalom Bimino, it's going to be batal anyway. So why would you break it? And the Gemara's answer was, you're right, but we're afraid you might come to use it Bimino. Well, what do you mean, use it Shalom Bimino? Isn't that being Mevatalis L'Chadchila? When you do it Shalom Bimino, you're creating a tarobes of the blios of Isser together with something else, and then the blios are going to become batal. But you're not allowed to be Mevatal in Isser L'Chadchila. So Tosus is already bothered by this question. Tosus and Dibra Maskel, who quotes from Rabbeinu Yosef, that suggests that Kederus and Pesach are Motul Vatel because it's Nosin Tam of Gam and it's Eino Minos. So even though generally speaking, we're not allowed to be Vatel Yisrael Chachila, when the Yisrael is anyway a Tampagum, normally Tampagum won't Aser, so it's not going to be an Yisrael anyway, but Chametz Pesach it is. But since it's anyway Tampagum, we're not going to be Machmir about being Vatel Yisrael Chachila. Tosus then quotes from the Ri that since these are Kederus of Cheres and Eina and Takana El Shavira, the only way to kasha them is by breaking them, so it's considered a bidyeved, and that's not called being vatalus l'chadchila. Meaning, we have a principle shasat chak kidyevedami that we have halachos that l'chadchila you're not allowed to do, but bidyeved it's still kasher. And when it's a shasat chak, the l'chadchila becomes the bidyeved. When something is a shasat chak, where it's a hefsim ruba, where you're going to have to lose the whole kli, the other option is to break the entire kli, to lose the whole kli. So that's like a shasat chak where the l'chadchila becomes a b'di'evet. That even though it's a l'chadchila situation, you're allowed to rely on what the halacha would be in a b'di'evet situation. Then there are other Rishonim, the Ran and the Ramban, that suggest that since you use the chametz b'heter, and now the yisr is not be'en, they were not machmir about being mevatel l'chadchila. Being mevatel is l'chadchila, if you're mevatel an actual yisr. But over here, this was something that when you used it, it was mutter. When you baked chametz in that kli, it was 2 weeks ago, it was totally mutter, it was before Pesach, it was totally mutter. So the whole Isser only came into being when it wasn't a Be'en. So on such a thing, we're not going to say, Ein Mevatel Isser L'Chadchila. It's not a strong enough Isser to apply the principle of Ein Mevatel Isser L'Chadchila in such a case. Just one final issue over here is that before we move on, Shmuel said that you better sell the pots for an appropriate price, otherwise I'm going to paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So the Birch Savram raises the question, Manavshach, and we said, oh, why doesn't he paskin like Rabbi Shimon anyway? He holds like Rabbi Shimon. No, it's Asrei Drav. Rav is the Maradash, he doesn't want to go against Rav. So Manavshach, if it's Asrei Drav and you can't go against Rav, so it's an empty threat. How can you say that I'm going to paskin against Rabbi Shimon? You're not allowed to go against the Maradash. If you hold that you're allowed to go against the Mar Diyasra, so go against the Mar Diyasra anyway. That's your Shita. So he suggests that he didn't want to paskin against Rav to be Matar Kederos. Why can't you go against the Mar Diyasra? If it's MS, if you hold that way in learning, why can't you paskin? The Shmuel is allowed to paskin Halachas. Why can't he paskin Halacha? It's Mishum Kvod of the Rav. It's all the din of the Kavod of the Mar Diyasra. And he assumed that Rav would be Mochel on his Kavod, B'makom Hefsid for so many Jewish people that they would have to spend so much more money. That even though Rav would disagree, la halacha, but Rav also agrees that Shmuel is entitled to an opinion, it's just that it's not kavodik to Rav in Rav's place for Shmuel to express that opinion. But Rav would be willing to be mochel on his kavod if it were a shasad chak in order to keep the prices down. Okay, so that's the story with Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara brings a discussion about an oven that they used shuman, they used fats to shmir the oven. So Auta, and in the end, the Gemara is going to ask on Rav about what Rav just said about Kederes Bepesach Kishaberu. So that's why we're bringing this topic up. Auta nuri the tachubu tichaya. There was an oven that they shmeared it with meat fat, and then they baked bread on that oven. And obviously the bread now had tam of this meaty fat. So Asara Rava Bar Ailai Lemichle Lerifta. So Rava said, you're not allowed to eat such bread with together with milchik food. Afilu b'milcha, and even with just salt. Liolam. Even if you go and you reheat the oven before you bake bread, because I'm afraid that you might come to eat that bread with a kutach, which is a milchik dish. So since the pas was balea tam basar, you're not allowed to eat it with chalav, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it with anything. Meaning, once you have fleshig bread, it's treif. Fleshig bread is not kosher. Milchik bread is also not kosher. Right? That's the halacha. Since bread is a staple food that they would eat at every meal, so you're not allowed to have milchik bread or fleshig bread. So that's what the Gemara discusses elsewhere. Are there any exceptions to that rule? And the Gemara identifies two exceptions that's encapsulated in a single phrase. The Gemara's phrase is that it's ke'ein tura, that if you make the bread ke'ein tura, then it's going to be mutter. But that means two things. Ke'ein tura means, la halacha means two things. Machlokes Rishonim, we pass them both. That the ke'ein tura means that it's either in very tiny quantities, like the eye of an ox. Ein tura means the ayin of a shar. So an ayin of a shar is very small. So if it's in very tiny quantities, then we're not worried that you're going to forget, oh, this is the fleshig bread, I shouldn't eat it with milchiks, because you'll consume it very quickly. Or keintura means that it's like the eye of an ox. It's shaped in a funny way that it doesn't look like the rest of the bread in your house. And as long as it's shaped in a funny way, everyone's going to realize that this isn't regular bread. This is a different kind of bread. So that was the famous discussion about the Thomas's English muffins. The Thomas's English muffins, for years, I don't know if they still are, maybe they are. I haven't had an English muffin in a long time. We're always OUD. How could you have OUD? That's OU treif if it's OUD. If it's dairy bread, dairy bread is Zasser. So they had three sniffim lahakel. Number one was that it's small quantities. English muffins are very small, so it's small quantities. That's a difficult kula, because the whole word of small quantities is that you'll consume it quickly and you won't have time to forget. These things could last for a long time. People put them in the freezer and they could last for a very, very long time. So it's hard to say, and you buy a whole thing of them. You know, so it's hard to say that just because each one is a small quantity. That's a sniff lahakel. The other sniff lahakel is it doesn't look like bread. It looks like an English muffin. It's totally different. A muffin is different than regular bread. If it looked like a loaf of bread, a chinami would be not kosher. But it looks like a muffin, an English muffin. So okay, that's a possible svara lahakel. Unless you say that no, there are many English muffins that are pariv. Nothing about an English muffin screams milchigs at you. It's just a little bit different. Then there's the third sniff lakel, which is the biggest one, is that it was always pachas mishishim. Whatever milk they put in there was always batel b'shishim anyway. So normally they would never allow batel b'shishim and just rely on that. But since it's not, we're not talking about something non-kosher ingredient, we're talking about milchig, so it's not going to be milchig bread if it's batel b'shishim, and therefore there's no gzeira against it about milchig bread when it's batel b'shishim. Plus you have the other two svaras anyway. So meisveis, I asked the Gemara, ein lashnas yisa b'chalav, you're not allowed to knead a dough with milk, v'imlash, and if you do knead the dough with milk, kalapas kula asura, the entire bread is going to be asur m'pnei hergel aveira, because what are you going to do with bread? You're going to eat it together with meat, and that's and certainly you're not allowed to eat the milchik bread together with meat. So kayotzi bo, and similarly, ein tashnas atavir ba'alya, you shouldn't smear the oven with fatty tail of a sheep, v'imtash, and if you do so, kalapas kula asura, all the bread that you make in that oven is going to be asur, because we're afraid that you might come to eat it with chalav. But the isur to eat from that which is baked in the oven is only ad sheyasika satanur, only until you refire up the oven again. Once you're masika satanur, then it's going to be mutter. Once you fire up the oven, then it's going to be mutter. So hahusa katanur miyashari. So here's our kasha. It sounds clearly from the braisa that once you do fire up the oven, then any bread that's baked in there, it's already been kashered out. Any bread that's baked in there is going to be fine. So tiyufta derav bar
Bar-Eloi, using this Tiyufta on Rava Bar-Eloi, who said that Pas is also the Olam, that the bread is going to be also no matter what you do. So Tiyufta, in a Chinami, that's why we reject Rava Bar-Eloi, that if you fire up the oven, that would taka solve the problem. So now the Gemara asks, from this Maskana, on the Shita of Rav. This is why we're bringing all of this in. What did Rav say? That Rav said that if you have clay cheres that have blios of chametz, you should bear. You have to break those clay cheres. So Amrle Ravina the Ravashi v'chimeacher di'itos of Rav Bar Eloi. Once we reject Rav Bar Eloi and we pass on that, apparently you're able to kasher a tanur. Amai kamar Rav there's pesuk yishaberu. Why does Rav say that you break all the kederos? Apparently you can kasher things just like a tanur can be kashered, and we're assuming a tanur is a clay cheres. So why does Rab say you take all your chametzik of clay cheres and you have to destroy them? So two answers. Amar lei hasam tam shomateches hachal kederes shal cheres. There's a big difference. The tanur that we're talking about is a metal tanur. A metal tanur you can kasher. Metal can be kashered, but cheres cannot be kashered. So Rab didn't say break all your kelim. He said break all your clay cheres. Of course you're going to kasher your metal kelim. So that's answer number one. Viva yisema, or we might say hava habishal cheres. Maybe even the oven that we're talking about is made out of cheres, zeh seikam ribifnim, zeh seikam ribachutz. It's just that the tanner, they would fire it up, they would heat it up, but with coals on the inside of the oven. So it's a really intense heat, as opposed to the kederos. How do kederos absorb heat? It's when there's a fire on the outside of the kedera. The fire is not on the inside of the kedera. You put the food on the inside of the kedera, and the fire comes from the outside of the kedera. So the intensity of the heat inside of the kedera is not as strong. This applies to other areas of halacha as well, where we assume that a seiko mibifnim generates a great level of heat. There's a discussion, I was just saying in Yerodeya Shir yesterday, there's a discussion of something called zeya in halacha. The Chuvas HaRosh quotes from Mishnah Machshirin that when you have steam, that you have thick steam, that's like the actual mamashos of Isra. So for example, if I take a milchig pot lid and I put it over a fleshig pot with boiling chicken soup in the fleshig pot, right? So the lid is going to become treif. The lid's not sitting in the chicken soup, but the zeya that's coming up from the chicken soup that's hitting the lid of the pot, that's like mamashos, that's real. The zeya, thick steam that's coming up from the food is real. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Siman Sadi Beis and Siman Sadi Gimel in Hilchos Bas Mechalav, and then you get to Siman Kuf Ches, where we talk about using the same oven for kosher and non-kosher in Hilchos Taroves, and all of a sudden there's no mention of zeya whatsoever. Zeya doesn't exist anymore. They're only talking about recha, when you cook two things simultaneously. There's no discussion whatsoever about cooking one after the other and whether it's an Isra of Zeya. So the Achronim are bothered. Why, what happened to the Isra of Zeya? So one of the suggestions is, no, there's a big difference. When you're dealing with a pot and you put a lid on a pot, the heat inside that pot is a lesser kind of heat, and it allows for Zeya to remain intact inside the pot. When you're talking about an oven, the atmosphere of the oven, since it's a seiko mibifnim, since the fire is burnt on the inside of the oven, the atmosphere is so hot in the oven that any zeya that comes out from the food is immediately burnt up, and it's a metzius. I mean, if you look inside the oven, turn on the light in your oven, and you look inside when food is cooking, you don't see like steam going on and hitting that and condensation developing on the ceiling of the oven. It just burns up. It just evaporates and burns up. Whereas if you look inside of a pot, obviously you take a lid off of a pot, it's dripping when you take a lid off of a pot. So it's very likely that that's why it doesn't mention zeya in Siman Kuf Ches, which has major ramifications for halachas of kai. We generally try to be machmir about our ovens, not to do, but it's a big sniff lakula when it comes Erev Shavuos and all those shaylas come to know that that very likely there isn't really a zeya problem. So anyway, so that's the other possible distinction over here. Hasekim ribifnim versus hasekim ribichutz. V'chitema chinami level le'asakim ribifnim. And if you're going to say, well, why break the kederos? Just kasher them by lighting them from the inside. Light a fire inside your soup pot, and then instead of breaking it, you'll kasher it. Now, you're not going to do a good job kashering it because you're going to be so nervous that you might break it from the intensity of the heat. Hilkach hay buchia. So if you have a kli that's made out of some sort of tiles that they would fry bread on, hasekum mibachutzu.
It's heated up from the outside, va'aser, and therefore you're not allowed to use it on Pesach. And imali gumra, if you fill it up with coals on the inside, chaper dummy, then it's okay, because that's a kind of kli that they're not worried that it might break. So if you taka heat it up with that intensity of heat from the inside, then you can actually kasher it. So now the Gemara discusses other issues relating to kashering kelim for Pesach. Some of the revealed Ravashi, hani sakini, those knives that they use for chametz throughout the year, bepischa heche avdin lehu, how are you machshir them for Pesach? Some of the lidi chadetoka. He says, I get new knives for Pesach. That's why I don't kasher them. So Amalei, Ravina said to Ravashi, Tenach Mar De'Efshalei, I'm glad that you're so rich and that you're able to buy new knives for Pesach, but what about the rest of us? The Lo Efshalei Mai, meaning it's a little bit out of touch to just say, you know, what do you mean? I go to my Pesach kitchen. Like, what do you, but what about those of us who don't have a Pesach kitchen? Like, how do we kasher? So Amalei, Ana Ke'en Chad Tokamina. No, I didn't mean that I buy brand new knives. It means I make them like new, meaning that you can kasher a knife. That's all I meant. Katayu betina. First, I take the handle of the knife that's made out of wood and I wrap it in some sort of mud or something to protect it. Or parzalayu benura. And then I put the barzel, the blade of the knife, into a fire to burn out the chametz. V'hadamaya and the katayu brotchin. And then I'll uncover the handle and put the handle in boiling water. So I kasher the blade of the knife with direct fire and the handle with hagala. I dip it in boiling water. And the halacha is even the blade of the knife really only needs hagala. You don't need to put it in a fire. You can put it in my rotchin in kli rishon. Amar Rav Unvei Rav Shua, eight parur. If you have a spoon made out of wood that they would use to mix, a mixing spoon that they would to mix food in a pot, and that it was used in a kli rishon to mix chametz on a fire. So megila berotchin b'kli rishon. Again, the way to kasher it is by doing hagala in a kli rishon. Kasavar kibolo kapolta. Because we assume that that's the principle in kashering, that the same way it was balea with the same intensity of heat that it was balea, that's how you get the blios out. So if it was in a kli rishon with a liquid medium, that it got the blios of chametz, so kli rishon with a liquid medium is the way to get rid of the blios of chametz. That's what we call hagala. So now the Gemara discusses, what about a kli cheres that has like a metallic layer on it? Does that work for hagala? Can you do hagala? So b'mine me'amemer, hani mani dekunya, those kli cheres that have like a metallic trim to it or a layer on it. So malish tamushibu bepischa. Are you allowed to use it on Pesach? Meaning, do they have a din like a kli matachas where you could kasher it with hagala, or does it have a din like a kli cheres where there is no kashering it with hagala? So yiruka lo tibayelach. If it was greenish colored, which is made from karka that has a certain type of karka, so devade asiri. That's not a shayla. That's for sure asur on Pesach because that has a din of a kli cheres. Ki tibayelach ukmi v'chivri. If it's black or if it's white, that's the shayla. My. So is that going to have a din of a kli cheres? Is that going to have a din of a kli mateches? Seichet dismu kartufni loti bayilach. If the kelim have cracks in them, then there's no suffix. Devade asivi. That's for sure going to be yasir because the cracks go right into the cheres. Kiti bayilach tashi my. What if it's a smooth surface of the kli? So just like our kelim, our kli cheres have like a glaze on them of a glass. It's a very thin glaze. So what about these kelim that have like this metallic glaze on them, this metallic layer on them? Samlu chazinlu demadyasi. I saw that these kelim are polit mashke from the outside, meaning they sweat. So alma bali va'asiri. So you see that from the fact that they sweat, they must be balea. And if they're balea, then they're asir, because then they're balea into the cheres. Because the Torah tells us that a kli cheres, whatever blios appear, come enter into the walls of a kli cheres, can never come out. But wait a second, kelim that are kli cheres that hold yayin nesach, that also have the same thin layer on the outside, the metallic layer on the outside, but they hold their yayin nesach. Yayin nesach over here, we're going to soon assume means stam yenam. We assume it's totally fine. We assume that those kelim do not absorb the tam of the yayin. V'chitema yayin nesach drabban v'chametz daraisa. Maybe you're going to tell me no. Yayin nesach we're more makel because it's only drabbanan. Yayin nesach is not drabban, but stam yenam is drabbanan. So that's what we're referring to. Stam yenam. Yainam. Not that we saw it was Nisnasech level Dezara. It's just Stam Yayin Shalak, when we have to be Choshesh. So Stam Yainam Drabbanon. So you're going to tell me maybe that's why we're Mekel? That doesn't make sense because it's called the Tikkun Rabbanon Ken Daraisa Tikkun. In general, when the Rabbanon make their Dinim, they always pattern their Dinim after the Dinim Daraisa. So just like by Din Daraisa, we're Choshesh for the Tam of the Yisra that's Bulua and Akli, we should be Choshesh by Nisnasech Rabbanon as well. So Amalei, so he said, no, Zet Hashmish Ali De Chamin, Vizet Hashmish Ali De Tzonin. What's the difference between a kli that's cookware, that's cheres cookware, versus a kli that holds wine? Wine is cold. That's the difference. So there are no blios of wine in the kli, and that's why it's going to be kasher. So Amar Rava Bar Abba, Amar Rav Chia Bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel, Kol HaKelim Shemashamish Ben Chametz Tzonin, Mishamish Ben Matzah, Chutz Min Beis Sa'or, Hol Shechimutzo Kasha. That most kelim, when you use only cold chametz in them, you're allowed to use those same kelim for matzah. You don't have to worry about it because it was only cold, and there are no blios with cold, except for sa'ar, which is very strong, and sometimes it will be in the kli all night, and it could be balea even al yidei tzonin. Because of its strength of the sa'ar, it could be balea even al yidei tzonin. Amar Rav Ashi, ubeis charos is a kli where they put a vinegar or something that has a real sharp taste to it, and they mix flour and they would dip bread in it. So kibesar shikumutsu kashadami. That's also called like a besar. That's also like something that can absorb even if it's cold. Amrava hani agni de mechuza. Those plates for bread that they use in the city of mechuza hold tadiri the melish buchamira mashbu chamira. Since they would always need and keep chametz in there, kibesar shikumutsu kashadami. We're just giving a list of items that are much stronger and therefore could be balea even on the day cold. So pshita, it's pasha that these things are asur. It's mamish and beis sa'ar. So ma d'tema, keeping the revicha shalat bu'avira v'lobali, I might have thought that since these mixing bowls are so wide, so there's enough air that could take away the strength and the pungency of the sa'ar that you're mixing in there, so I might have thought that it wouldn't be balea because the air gets in and sort of weakens it, so kamash mulan. That's why Rava wants to tell me that that's also like a beis sa'ar, even though it's a very broad and wide kli that air can get into it, nevertheless, it's still going to be balea, but so late. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of the year of Laman of the Days. Yeah, have a good day.